Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is just about 4:11 here, 44 degrees on this Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. So, former President Joe Biden was in the spotlight again. He was at an event, a paid event. He was paid to be a speaker at this event. They don't know how much, but it was brought up that he was a paid for his appearance as a speaker at this event. He really doesn't have a lot of other income coming in now that he doesn't hold a position. But a lot of people, including Democrats, said, a matter of fact, mostly Democrats, said that he should just remain low-key from this point on. And I have some audio from this. And he mentioned Scranton, which is the only reason I bring this audio into this. Listen, we all knew and saw with our own eyes the state that he was in and questioned why, if he was capable to continue to be the commander-in-chief, nevertheless run for another four-year term, and we saw that. And it's interesting because you're seeing people in his inner circle now coming out. So they lied to us for the past 2 years, and now all of a sudden they're all coming out with books telling us the truth. How do you feel about that? Because that's kind of insulting. I mean, for me, for someone who didn't support him to begin with, who called it what it was every time we saw him speak and saw him act, that he was just not capable of handling that position anymore and somebody should step in, and that it was cruel to continue to parade him around. They are now saying the people close to him, including a former chief of staff, that he needed to be handled out at public events, that they limited his interaction even at the White House in controlled events. And I think the appearance that he made yesterday shows that to be exactly on point. And more coming out, more and more coming out with books, and we're going to learn more, and they hope we forget about it. But I made him post today where I said, make no mistake, the mayor of Scranton lying to you about the status of Joe Biden's mental acuity solidified the 2024 Republican sweep. Those closest to the past president in 2023 are making that very clear now. There is no way, if you had an actor see him at a fundraiser and said, listen, this isn't the same guy, there's something wrong here, and have the wherewithal to start pushing pressure on people saying, hey, there's enough time to salvage this party. There's enough time to where we can do something different, to where we can maybe have a convention and get another candidate in there. And that's another story, how that candidate, got coronated, Kamala Harris, the vice president, rather than the Democrat Party picking someone they actually would like to be in there and not forced upon them. But you have people like the mayor of Scranton, former Senator Bob Casey, Matt Cartwright, former congressman. And thankfully, the people spoke about them loud and clear. They saw this multiple times. They knew about it. They lied to you. And because they lied to you, and I'm talking Democrats, they lied to all of us, but I'm talking to you specifically Democrats, because you had a chance. You had a small window, if they would have called this early enough for what it was, to put the party on a different path. And now they walked around. The mayor of Scranton went right from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris, and now she's on to whatever's next. And what that is, we'll see. I would imagine it would be Josh Shapiro or her own aspirations. Who knows? There is a major divide in the Democrat Party right now. We're going to talk about that a little later as far as this Bernie Sanders AOC oligarchy. I played video, and I'm going to play it again, audio for you guys, but it's a video, of where Bernie Sanders is saying the same thing for the past 30 years about oligarchies. And just now, Donald Trump's the reason of an oligarchy. But he's been saying this since 1994. 1994, he's been saying the same stuff. Just people are buying it now. And listen, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took in almost $10 million in the first quarter of fundraising. They have a powerhouse behind them. And there's going to be a reckoning within the Democratic Party, a fracture, where they're going to start targeting people like Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, the established Nancy Pelosi. We got a story about her, where they're starting to talk openly about forcing her aside now. She did it. She set the precedent with Joe Biden, so now she's the target. So I'm sure she'll She'll regret that. But make no mistake, it's people like the mayor of Scranton who lied to Democrats, lied to voters, lied to everyone about where he stood with his cognitive ability, where his mental acuity was. And that gave you the results. It helped the results that you got in the 2024 election. But here is Joe Biden at this event yesterday, and it's being questioned up and down. The phrasing he's using, the wording he's using, he was kind of all over the place with his story, but it's pretty insultive to a lot of groups that Democrats really need if they want to move forward that walked away from them in large numbers during the 2024 election.
I remember pulling in, into the parking lot, and I had never seen, hardly any black people in Scranton at the time, when I was only going in fourth grade. And I remember seeing the kids going by at the time called colored kids on a bus going by. They never turned right to go to Claymont High School. I wondered why. Asked my mom, why? So in Delaware, they're not allowed to go to school, in public school, with white kids, honey. That sparked my sense of outrage as a kid, just like it does. I mean, and these young kids right here can tell you things affect them when they learn about something that's really just unfair and unjust. You know, my dad was an honorable man. And my dad used to have an expression. He said, Joey, your job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay and mean it. Well, that's what you're all about. That's what the legislation is about. It's about dignity. Simple dignity. Everyone.
You got to watch out now. Joe Biden's getting angry. He's got the angry Joe in coming out now.
Deserves to be treated with dignity, regardless of the standard, regardless of the economic system, regardless of who they are. Making sure that more than 60 million Americans who are living with disabilities are treated with dignity is who we are as Americans. That's what it's about. I mean it. Dignity at work, at school, in their communities, in every corner of American life. Laws like the ADA need advocates like you. You're the ones that keep it going, God love you. You fight like hell every single day to make sure the law is respected.
Well, that was just part of his speech. At the end of the speech, he kind of looked both ways to figure out where he was being flagged down to where the stairs were to get off there. And after this, in the news last night on stations like CNN, MSNBC, this morning, the morning shows on those very same, ABC, they were saying that it's time for Joe Biden to go away. He needs to have a low-key exit and stay there. But you also have this major shift, and we're going to talk about it in depth, but don't sleep on this AOC Bernie Sanders tour. Now, will it resonate across the nation in places like Pennsylvania? Somewhat, but I don't think a lot. A lot of the individuals being tracked at these events, the fact that he's getting a roaring ovation at Coachella to where lemonade is $17 and it's thousands of dollars to get in. It's kind of hypocritical when you want to talk about the rich and oligarchies and such like that. I mean, his entire life is a sham as far as he's never had a private sector job. He's lived in a public sector and he's a millionaire. How does that happen? But it's interesting because when you hear him talk about this oligarchy, it's the same thing since 1994, the same exact speech. And he's tried and he's got pushed aside by the Democrat establishment. Well, there really is no Democrat establishment right now. James Carville, who was, he's a has-been as well, but he's a Democrat staple as far as strategist goes, said this, that there's going to be a fracture in the Democrat Party. And members of the squad and the progressive wing have always told their voters, we didn't go far enough over to what we wanted. That's why we're losing. That's why we lost. We didn't get far enough over to Medicaid for all. We didn't get socialist enough, or else we'd be in a better position right now and we'd be winning. And some people buy that. What's funny is the younger crowd doesn't. that 18 to 23 is leaning more red, leaning more Republican. But that 23 to 28 is starting to shift back over to that socialist, progressive, Bernie Sanders, yes, we hear you type thing. Now, he's got a cult following, no doubt, Bernie Sanders. He always has. But the Democrat establishment, he never had to get pushed out by the Republicans. The Democrat establishment always pushed him aside. But there is not that establishment now. It doesn't exist. They don't have a leader. They don't have a message. And I've said this since the election. In an absence of a leader, they will listen to whoever the loudest is. Hakeem Jeffries tried to fill that void. He's being pushed aside as no one to listen to. Chuck Schumer is going to remain quiet because he's in the crosshairs of AOC, possibly. There you have Whitmer covering up her face in the Oval Office like a school child. The Democrat establishment doesn't know what to do anymore. They are so lost and out of touch that they are leaving a gap for someone like a Bernie Sanders and an AOC. Even a Jasmine Crockett, who I don't think will be taken seriously in a lot of places, but they are giving her the attention. They are giving her the megaphone. They are giving her. If you notice, AOC is very smart when she becomes invisible. When there's controversial stuff that she's not part of, she goes away on social media. She doesn't post a lot. She stays out of the eye. And then when there's something for her, the opportunity, she jumps out and she's there and she's on it. But if you notice, she's been very quiet. There's been a lot of meetings, a lot of town halls in her area in Jackson Heights where she's a representative for, that she has just been sending a representative from Ocasio-Cortez's office. Because she's out crossing the country with Bernie Sanders, going to these events, hosting, filling these arenas. And what's funny is they've been talking about these arenas being filled, and I know it's a big thing. Trump made a big deal about it as well. And I posted a picture because there was a big concert in New Jersey from Funkmaster Flash. And if you don't know who Funkmaster Flash is, he was a 80s DJ, still pretty popular and relevant. But they're talking about all these people, 12,000 to 30,000 people that Bernie Sanders and AOC are filling up. Well, for some perspective, Funkmaster Flash filled an entire arena as just a DJ playing his hits and what he's known for. People are looking for entertainment. They're looking for someone to listen to. They're looking for leadership. And in the void of real leadership, true leadership, they will listen to and follow whoever's there, whoever's the loudest. And I think that's what you're seeing a lot of right now when it comes to the Democrat Party. But after listening to Joe Biden speak last night and insulting a lot of his base, trying to connect with the individuals, and he always goes back to his dad, and not for nothing, but if you know the stories of Joe Biden here as a child, his father kind of left him here with his family and went to do his own thing, and then when he finally got established, the family said, hey, you need to take your family back to Delaware, and he did. So he talks about him on this high pedestal when father really wasn't, if you know the stories behind him, from here in Scranton. But the fact that he mentioned Scranton, I figure it was relevant to bring to the table here and talk about. But I agree with the Democrats on this one. Joe Biden should just go away and sit on the beach and do what he needs to do, because nothing good is going to come out for the Democrats of him traveling anywhere and giving talks like he just gave. It's 424 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 429, 43 degrees. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let me go to the phone now. We have Bill Hardwick on the phone. Bill.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So what's going on?
Well, Rob, I wanted to call in. I like listening to your show, and I wanted to call in and take advantage of all the listeners you have and just remind everybody that I am a candidate for magisterial district judge in the Kingston-Edwardsville district. That is 11-105. And part of my reminder is that I did have to change the type of candidacy I was running. Originally, I did my petitions over at the Bureau of Elections and cross-filed to be on both the Democratic and Republican. Oops.
You there, Bill?
I'm sorry.
No problem.
My earbud died on me. I'm not sure where I left off, but I had to change my candidacy to do a write-in ballot. So I'm in the process of trying to get out and let people know that while my candidacy changed in how I'm going about doing this as a write-in candidate, it hasn't changed the fact that I really am working toward and want to be the Kingston-Edwardsville Magisterial District Judge.
All right. Now, in your write-in, how are people – is it Bill? Is it going to be William? How is it going to be on the write-in ballot? Because that matters.
It's a good question. So my signage, everything says Bill Hardwick. The name of my campaign is under Bill Hardwick. So everything, although my formal name is William Hardwick, everything that could be done as write-in either at the poll or if someone's doing a mail-in ballot would be Bill space Hardwick.
All right. I would just, my advice, I would double check with the election office to make sure that that is the case, because you don't want a bunch of people to vote for Bill Hardwick and they check your ID and say, well, you're a William Hardwick. You know, that's not going to matter. That's not going to count, because I would put nothing past the election offices.
I agree with you. I did go to the election bureau. I do have a little bit of legal help and we researched this a bit, and it's basically about consistency. And there are options after. There's a 5-day window during the canvassing period that, let's say one person wrote Billy Hardwick and someone wrote Bill Hardwick, I can actually petition the Bureau to make considerations for very close write-ins that they be counted together.
Yes.
But I'm hoping not to go in that direction. I'm hoping that if people choose to write me in, they all write in as Bill space Hardwick.
All right. Well, I hope, glad we got that straight out there. And just, you know,
yes,
like, again, I put nothing past our election offices. Not that specific one, just them in general.
Yep. And, Rob, if I could say one more thing, and it's just a little bit about why or what I'm doing. Very quickly, in 2017, I wanted to do this magisterial run. A friend of mine announced a candidacy, Jim Haggerty. And as a friend, I thought, you know what, very great legal mind, and I thought, great magistrate, so I stepped back and decided not to do it. Jim passed away a year ago in March, and this opportunity came back forward, and I made a decision to go forward, so I did my certification classes in Harrisburg to get myself ready for this. And I'm really excited to try and become the next judge here. My platform is very, very simple. It's called Fair and Balanced. I want to make sure that our law enforcement has the support to keep the really bad people off the streets. But I also want to have a court where I understand that people can make a mistake and that, you know, one mistake shouldn't be an issue for the rest of your life. So that's basically what I want to bring to the bench.
All right. That sounds good. How many people are running for this? Do you know offhand?
There's myself and two others.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling, Bill, and giving your platform there and letting people know that you will be a write-in option and how to write you in. Now, that's important.
I appreciate the time, Rob.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Good luck with your race.
Okay. Thanks so much.
It's 4:34 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, we have two from Pennsylvania. I'm going to start with the Chief of Police, Joseph Francis Merva, Troop Borough Police Department, 1972. Chief of Police Joseph Merva suffered a fatal heart attack 6 days after responding to a multi-vehicle accident with injuries. Chief was the first officer in the scene. He provided first aid to several people who were injured after attempting to extricate a person who was trapped inside one of the vehicles that rolled over onto its roof. Once medics arrived at the scene, he proceeded assisting them in getting the victim into the ambulance and then directed traffic around the scene of the accident. He returned to the police station after the accident was cleared and began displaying symptoms of a heart attack. When he arrived home after completing his shift, complained about chest pains, having a loss of appetite, he called off work the next day but returned to work the following 2 days, completing his normal shift work even though in pain. While off duty at his home, he suffered a fatal heart attack. Chief was a U.S. Army veteran of World War II and had served with the Troop Borough Police Department for 17 years. He was survived by his wife and 3 daughters. Thoughts go out to them. I hate when it's local here like that. Next, we have Patrolman Morgan E. Skidmore, Pottsville Police Department, 1928. Was shot and killed while attempting to arrest a juvenile boy suspected of stealing chickens. Patrolman Skidmore had followed the boy to his home. When he entered the home, the boy's mother confronted him and told him the boy wasn't home. When Patrolman Skidmore turned to leave, the boy appeared and shot him in the back, killing him. The boy was convicted of Patrolman Skidmore's murder. He was sent to prison, served his time, and was released. Served with the agency for 14 years. He was survived by his wife and child. And those are our two from here in Pennsylvania. It is 4:42 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 4:47 here on this Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. Time for today in history, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Some significant events today on this April 16th. Emancipation Day on 1862. April 16th, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the District of Columbia's Compensated Emancipation Act, abolishing slavery in Washington, D.C. This act freed approximately 3,100 enslaved individuals and was the only instance where the U.S. government compensated former slave owners. The district now commemorates this day annually as Emancipation Day, featuring parades and public events. 2007, Virginia Tech shooting. On this tragic day, mass shooting occurred at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. Student opened fire on campus, resulting in the death of 32 individuals before taking his own life. Remains the deadliest school shooting in U.S. history. 1912, Harriet Quimby's historic flight. Harriet Quimby, the first American woman to earn a pilot's license, became the first woman to fly across the English Channel on April 16, 1912. Tragically, she died in an aviation accident just months later. Some baseball milestones here. April 16th has seen several notable moments in baseball history. 1940, Bob Feller pitched the only opening day no-hitter in the major league history, leading the Cleveland Indians to a 1-0 victory over the Chicago White Sox. The New York Yankees became the first Major League Baseball team to wear numbered uniforms on this day in 1929, aiding in player identification. April 16th is also recognized as Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball, honoring the player who broke the sport's color barrier. All players wearing number 42 to commemorate his legacy. And that's a little bit on today. I have some personal note for today. I posted it on my Facebook, so if you follow me there, and you should, Rob O'Donnell on Facebook, you saw it. A friend of mine. Today's her Alive Day. And happy Alive Day to her, my friend. And I started off strong women scare weak men. That's a T-shirt that my wife wears. I got it for her a while ago, and it definitely, you know, holds weight. My friend Amy Russo is a major in the Broward County Sheriff's Office down in Florida. Prior to becoming law enforcement professional decades ago, she was the innocent victim of a drive-by shooting, shot in the back as she returned home from school. She was simply coming home from school. There was a drive-by shooting. She was an innocent bystander, got shot in the back, and went through a huge surgery rehabilitation criminal case during that time. Before she even thought, as a matter of fact, this steered her future life. This set fire to her as she removed all barriers placed before her throughout her career. A mother, a leader, a friend, a cop's cop, and someone I'm proud to call a friend, thankful to be a spectator in her journey. Because she saw firsthand of the justice system, how the detectives investigated the crime, how they prosecuted the crime, going to court, molded her life, and she's in the upper ranks of the Broward County Sheriff's Office, has gone up from being a dispatcher to officer, patrol officer, deputy sheriff, to a sergeant, to a lieutenant, to now a major in the top administration of the Broward County Sheriff's Office. I simply put, great things take sacrifice. Great things take work. Great things take leadership. Great things take dedication. Amy being here today with all that she has and has yet to accomplish is a great thing. Happy Alive Day. It's unfortunate that I have a couple of friends who have an Alive Day. Now, an Alive Day is where someone tried to take your life. A situation tried to take your life, and you beat those odds, and you're still here with us. And they celebrate that. They celebrate it like a birthday. They celebrate it like an anniversary because it's something worth celebrating, being here with us today, doing something good with your life, turning that horrible experience, that traumatic experience around to doing something great. So, again, happy Alive Day to my friend Major Amy Russo of the Broward County Sheriff's Office. It's 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 4:55. 44 degrees on this Wednesday, middle of the week. We made it, April 16th. So Nancy Pelosi is adamant she won't release her grip on the Democrat Party despite their resounding defeat in 2024 and a growing chorus urging her to step down. Ex-President Joe Biden named Pelosi one of the chief architects of the move to push him aside for Kamala Harris to run at short notice. And she was instrumental in the disastrous $1 billion campaign which followed, leading the party to lose the White House, Senate, and the House of Representatives. Younger members of the party, and even current House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, believes it's time for a fresh and new leadership, according to sources. But Pelosi insists on business as usual. Even Hakeem Jeffries is looking to sacrifice. And again, with Nancy Pelosi setting up a precedent where she pushed Joe Biden aside, gave him an ultimatum, and Chuck Schumer was part of that too, make no mistake, they will indeed use this same against her. As long as Nancy takes a breath, she is going to do what she wants to do, said Willie Brown, a former mayor of San Francisco, who once dated former Vice President Harris. It's interesting they went to Willie Brown to discuss this story. She's the heart and soul of the Democrat Party, particular in Californians, he added. Behind the scenes, some see it differently. According to one Democrat former New York City lawmaker who complained Pelosi still meddles in national affairs, Hakeem wants her out, they said, referring to Jeffries. Nancy has her hand in every decision he makes as a leader. She just can't help herself. A spokesperson for Jeffries said in a statement, Leader Jeffries has repeatedly and publicly made clear that he and the House Democrats are proud to stand on the historic shoulders of Nancy Pelosi. Didn't say he supported her to move on, just saying that they were built on her shoulders. Notice how they phrased their answer. Despite having just turned 85, the Speaker Emerita, as Pelosi calls herself, has already filed paperwork in November to run for Congress in 2026 and has nearly $10 million in her campaign coffers, according to the Federal Election Commission. Now, here's where I'm going to put some comparison. She's got $10 million to run for re-election. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, congresswoman from New York, relatively new. I mean, she's been there a couple terms now. But as far as members of Congress goes, relatively new, has raised $9 million just in the first quarter of this year. The more money they have, the bigger play you are. We know this in politics. So that $10 million doesn't seem so big when you look at what other people are making. With a personal net worth estimated at $250 million, the 20-term congresswoman, younger members of the party feel Pelosi has become a very embodiment of a well-heeled corporate Democrat, an image they desperately want to shake. Here's a woman worth $250 million, 20 terms, 40 years in Congress. They're going to lecture us about the rich. They're going to tell us how the middle class feels. Tell us how the everyday person makes it through the workday, how they pay their bills, how they mow their grass, how they do the things they do. I feel it's like the Democrats actually need to become a party that's fighting tooth and nail for the working class and middle class right now, said Sakat Chakrabarty, 39, one of her opponents in the 2026 Democratic Party. Do you recognize his name? Well, you should. He was the chief of staff for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and he's running against Nancy Pelosi, AOC's former chief of staff. Is running against Nancy Pelosi. There's going to be trouble.